pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Find Philippians chapter 2. Brother Snyder, I'm going to move this so I can see. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to go, please, tonight to verse 17. Philippians chapter 2. For some time, I endeavored to preach a series, Abiding in Christ. But then recently, I've been preaching Rejoicing in Christ. My text has been Philippians. Philippians is four chapters. It's a prison epistle. It was written while Paul was in prison in Rome. But yet within this epistle, you know, I have visited individuals in jail, and you don't usually find that as a place of rejoicing. I had I had a cousin that was in a military academy back there in the 70s. We were all young. And he'd gotten in trouble. His family sent him to the military academy, and I went and visited with him. And he was in a barracks-type, dormitory-type housing. And the boys in there, they were singing, I Wish I Were, or they were playing on the record player, I Wish I Were Homeward Bound. And it was a sad place. It was a sad place. But the point of this is, within these four chapters of Philippians, you'll find the word joy, rejoice, rejoiced, and rejoicing 14 times. And then you'll find references that are very, that encourage rejoicing, like no murmuring. So that would be rejoicing. And the point is, Paul encourages them to be joyful. He writes to the people in Philippi. He had been there and established that work by the grace of God in Acts chapter 16. That was, we believe, about 52 A.D. And then about 64 A.D., he's in prison and he writes to them. And he says in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now, how could a man who has been arrested and incarcerated unjustly, how could he say, rejoice in the Lord always? How could he say that? He could say that because he knew that he was in the will of God. He was not a criminal. He'd not done anything wrong. He had done the will of the Lord. And he had found himself in this circumstance. Now, if you're in the will of God, you can rejoice whatever your circumstance. If you're in a difficult circumstance because you've gotten out of the will of God, Christian, you can get that settled. You can approach the Lord in sorrow and the grief and 1 John 1:9, and then you can get that settled and you can rejoice. And that's the point. That's the point. Now, look for just a moment. Look at chapter 2 and look at verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now here's my text for tonight. This is where we stopped last time. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy, and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your fate. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. Paul said, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, watch this, I joy and rejoice with you all. If I be offered, here's a man that's willing to pay any price. If I be offered, I will rejoice. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this rich text. Thank you for the inspiration, for the preservation of the Scriptures. Thank you for believers here tonight and like-minded individuals and the opportunity to assemble together around this book. My Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts. I ask you to help us each one to rejoice regardless of circumstance. And I've been tried concerning this since I started preaching it. So I ask you to help us, Father, to be mindful of what's really important and all that we have for which we should be thankful and a people of joy. We love you and thank you tonight. Most of all, we thank you for our Savior. We pray in His name. Amen and amen. I ask you to consider, please, if I be offered. This is similar to something I'd given you before. It was in verse 2, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love and being of one accord and of one mind. And I called that the preacher's joy, and his joy was found in these believers in Philippi. May I say, individuals he'd been used to disciple, to see them faithful. That's what gave him joy. And here he says in verse 17, if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service for your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Number one, consider his consecration. Here's a man of the very most commitment, the very greatest level of commitment, Paul's consecration. He said, if I be offered. Now, what he's suggesting is this. He's suggesting that he's willing to die in order to strengthen the faith of these believers. If it took his death for them to grow in grace and to be stronger in the faith and to bear fruit, he's willing to do that. If I be offered, if I be offered. He was willing to die for them. He's willing to die with them. He has that level of commitment. And so frequently he made statements like this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he said this, none of these things move me, neither count I my life so dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life so dear unto myself. So if he's saying, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die. Acts chapter 21, a prophet named Agabus warned him about going to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was a place he'd face great opposition, and he did. But Paul answered Agabus this way, Acts 21 verse 13, Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, he said something to the believers at Corinth. He wrote them and he said this, listen to this, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. What a statement. I will very gladly spend. I'll give up anything I have. I will spend for you. And he continued, he said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you, whatever it costs me. That's his commitment to the individuals with whom he had the privilege to serve. And what a high level of commitment. What a high level of commitment. Go back for just a moment in Philippians. Go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 21. We covered this a while back. Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul said this. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Okay, here's a man who says, for me to live is Christ. I'll live for Christ. That's the abundant life. I know him, he knows me. I'm in his will, doing his work. I will live for Christ. But he said, if I die, I die is gain. Here's a man with whom heaven was very, very real. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And then he continued, he said, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Then he said, yet what I shall choose, I want not. All right, Paul, you got a choice right now. Live or die. He says, I don't know what I choose. I do not know what I choose. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt the two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, I'm ready to go and be with Jesus. But he said, need to be here. So that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. Paul's consecration, he said, if I be offered, if I be offered, he said, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. And by the way, he did offer himself. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so he did offer himself, and he was offered. And here's a man who talks about rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. There are a great many believers throughout the history of the church that have given the ultimate sacrifice. They have offered themselves rather than deny the cause of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ. They have given themselves And they have paid that ultimate price. First century, great multitudes of them. Middle Ages, great multitudes of them. Even during the Reformation time, many gave their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, you and I, we don't face any great opposition. When I read passages like this and I read about Paul's commitment, it convicts me considerably. And the reason is, I haven't faced anything like he faced. But yet, frequently, I don't have the joy he had. Something's wrong there, and it's me. We don't face what he faced. There are Christians in the world tonight that face so very much, so very much. We work with a man in India named Paul Halkeep. He was here many years ago. He was used to pastor a church in Manipur, India. He had also a Bible Institute training men. And with all the unrest there today, 2023, they burned his house to the ground, burned his automobile, and destroyed the church building. He's in a what we'd call a refugee camp tonight. He's still preaching. He's still doing work for the Lord, but it's cost him so much. It hasn't cost me much. I have lived such a comfortable life, and I thank God for that. And listen, I have every reason to rejoice. And let me tell you something, so do you. You say, my circumstance. Listen, you've got to rejoice in the Lord regardless of circumstance. And if you know you're in the will of God, then you must understand that whatever the circumstance is, God has permitted it. I say again, if you've gotten out of the will of God, then that's a reason for sorrow. But that sorrow is not permanent, because if you'll just get that right with God and get reconciled to God, get back in fellowship with God is what I should say. If you'll get back in fellowship with God, you go to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do that, and now you can rejoice. You have to pay the price for your disobedience, but you can rejoice. Paul's consecration, he had such a great level of consecration. We live in the church age, and right here in North Carolina, we live really, good lives. I mean, it's easy here to be a Christian. Doesn't cost you a great deal. Those tribulation saints, it'll cost them a great deal. Listen to this. This is Revelation 12:11, and it's right in the middle of the tribulation. We're in the church age, and if you know the Lord tonight, you're not going into the tribulation. But Revelation 12:11. The saints, they overcame him. In Revelation 12, you read about the great red dragon. He's identified. He's that old serpent, the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They were willing to die, and great multitudes of them will. Paul's consecration in the passage, here is a great level of commitment, a high level of commitment, And I want to have that kind of commitment, but I haven't faced that kind of a trial. That's Paul's consecration. But then Paul's exhortation, look please at the next verse. Verse 18, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Verse 18, Paul's exhortation, and he is exhorting them to rejoice. Now think about this. Well, let's make it personal. Think about the individual that gave you an understanding of the gospel, and you made a decision and trusted the Lord Jesus, and you were converted. You're born again. You're adopted into the family of God. You have those exceeding great and precious promises. Think about that individual, or maybe it was several individuals. Maybe someone over here and someone over there. It's like that in my life. Or think about that Christian or that Sunday school teacher or that preacher or that evangelist that discipled you in the Lord. God used him to show you a lot of things. You have such an affection for someone like that. I do. Such an affection. Can you imagine the affection that the people at Philippi, the believers at Philippi, can you imagine the affection they had for him? Go back and read Acts chapter 16. Read Acts chapter 17 and look at what he went through for them. And imagine how much affection they had for him. And now they hear that he has been arrested, and he's appealed to Caesar, and he's been taken to Rome, and he's in prison in Rome. And it must have been a great burden to them. So his exhortation is found in verse 18. He says, for the same cause also do ye joy, and rejoice with me. He's saying, look, rejoice with me. for the same cause do you joy. Now go back to chapter 1 for just a moment and look please at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Chapter 1 verse 12. He's making reference here to his incarceration. And it was unjust and it was unreasonable and it was uncomfortable. It was terrible, terrible. But he said this. He said, I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That's what he's concerned about. He's not concerned so much about his own welfare. He's concerned about the furtherance of the gospel. And he says, the things that have happened to me. Yeah, read about it. A riot in Jerusalem. They nearly took his life in Jerusalem. How about all these men in Jerusalem that said, we're not going to eat another thing. We're going to fast. We're not eating another meal until we can kill Saul of Tarsus, Paul the apostle. I mean, he had that on him. And then he appeals to Caesar. He's taken to Rome. And ultimately, he did offer himself. But the point says, all those things, well, those aren't very desirable things. All those things, he said, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And so he's saying to them, he's given an exhortation here. He says, rejoice with me. Now, he did not quote from Romans 8:28, but what he's given them is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Paul's exhortation, he said, rejoice with me. But then Paul's lamentation, this is the last point, Paul's lamentation. Look at verse 20. Now in verse 19, he said, I trust, I expect, I believe that I can send Timotheus to you. Timotheus, he's a solid young man. I could send Timotheus to you. Later in chapter 2, he mentions Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus, he's a solid individual. He's a sound preacher, but he's been sick. So Paul makes his statement. Look at it. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus, to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now watch this. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He said, I don't have anybody I can send to you. I have no man like-minded. What a thing. Now, we use that. I've used that sometimes in messages and sometimes in talking with individuals. And Paul says, I have no man like-minded. And you might be in some place in your life where it seems like you have no man like-minded. But in context, what he's talking about is the church at Philippi. He says, I don't have anybody I can send over there. I need a pastor in Philippi. I need a man that will go over there and help these people. And I have no man like-minded. Well, what's the problem? Are there men that aren't saved? Are there men that aren't talented? Are there men that not gifted? Are there men that not experienced and trained? No, that's not it. That's not it. Look at verse 21. For all seek their own. They're distracted. All seek their own. They're looking at so many things. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. And then he lists some of the folks that are with him, and then he lists one that's not with him. Do you remember? He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, in another place, he referred to Demas as a fellow laborer. Demas had served with him. And when he is near the end of his life, he says, Demas hath forsaken me. What's the problem? Having loved this present world. Love not the world, neither things are in the world. If any man love the world, love of Father is not in him. No man can serve two masters. He'll love the one and hate the other. And Demas loved the world. I have no man like-minded. That's quite an indictment. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. No doubt, first century, no doubt there were a great many faithful men that were faithfully serving in various places. But Paul says, at this time, I have no man that I can send to you. I have no man like-minded that I can send to you. And brethren, there are opportunities throughout the world. There are opportunities all around us. My Savior, in John 4:35, he said this. He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He said, the laborers are few. And there are churches today that need leadership. There are places that need evangelism. There are opportunities. Now, they're not high-paying opportunities. But Paul's commitment, he didn't talk about those things. I mean, when he did, he made reference that he wasn't concerned about it. But the point is this, Paul's lamentation, he said, I have no man like-minded. I remind you of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah's call. Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You can rejoice doing the will of the Lord, whatever the circumstance. Let me give you another verse. We've already covered it. It is verse 18 of chapter 1. And I want you to notice the last part of it. It says, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You see, it's a decision. I do rejoice, and I will rejoice. Don't let the world beat you up, and don't let emotions drag you all over the place. I will rejoice. Why? Because I have truth. Why? Because I have exceeding great and precious promises. Why? I have something greater than this life, whatever I might face in this life. And that's easier to preach than to live, but brother, that's right. That is right. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Paul's consecration, Paul's exhortation, but then Paul's lamentation. But let's use our time to examine ourselves. Maybe you need to rejoice. And let's use our time to pray. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 18, Paul said, for the same cause also do ye joy. And he said, rejoice with me. Let's stand together. Brethren, rejoice with me. Let's examine ourselves. Let's use time to pray. Let's pray for these many requests. But if there's not been a time in your life when you've responded to the gospel, if you don't have that Bible assurance, then really you do not have anything to rejoice about, because the outlook is very bad. Here and there, the outlook is very bad. My Savior said, except a man be born again, he will not enter the kingdom of God. He said, marvel not the saying to thee, you must be born again. You must be. To be born again is to respond to the gospel. It's to make a sincere decision from the heart to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote to the believers at Ephesus and he said, in whom, the Lord Jesus, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he said, how then shall they call upon him in whom they not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you trusted Him as Savior? Do you have that settled from this book? If not, that's most important. Let's examine ourselves. Let's obey the Lord. Let's rejoice. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for this evening. Thank you for this opportunity. Help us, my Father, to be mindful of what we read in Philippians, a prison epistle about joy, rejoicing, and help us, Father, to be for you what we should be. And we know that you are so good to us and so gracious and so merciful, and we're so thankful for all that you've done for each one of us. Here we're in this room tonight, like-minded people, and we're so grateful for the privilege to serve you in this area. My Father, please give us wisdom for this hour, and please help us to be mindful of those in need, and help us to be fervent in prayer. We ask in our Savior's name. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed, as our pianist plays softly a hymn of invitation. Friends, let's examine ourselves, and let's pray for these many requests. Let's do that.